And good afternoon, Nevada shooters. It's Saturday, October 17, 3:07 p.m., 1507, for you military or tactical types. Ben, what's up, brother?
Not a whole lot.
We're back.
Not a whole lot. We are back. It was a tough week last week. I'm doing the show without you is rough. It's not the same. I like Sean.
I missed it. I did. I got to tell you, I know I seem a little over the top right now. I am legitimately really excited to be here.
I can tell.
Driving
you're like
in here this morning,
bouncing out of your
pumped.
Seat.
I was pumped, man. It's a glorious day to be alive. I was pumped. I'm ready to be back. I missed it. I missed being here. I heard like the first 5 minutes of last week's show, and I'm like, oh, it's my Benny Poo.
Well, you know, I'm not there. I missed you, and I was pissed at the Discovery Channel.
We're going to talk a little bit about that
all right.
The extent that we can. I was gone for a week, as you all know. I went to an NRA law enforcement tactical shooting instructors development course. We did carbine and pistol. Wednesday last week, we were behind the trigger putting rounds down range at 8:30 a.m. We did not get off the trigger until 9:30 p.m.
How many rounds was that?
I lost count.
Holy crap.
It was just a blur of muzzle flash by the end of the day. I tell you what, I have never felt so beaten up physically in my life. It was a demanding course.
Well, after our 6 hours at the range doing one of your classes, I can't even imagine what that must have felt like.
Well, it was very physically taxing, but I'll tell you what, to be on a range with a bunch of professionals, and there were only a few of us that were cops.
Yeah.
The rest were either in nuclear security industry or private security industry, personal protection details, stuff like that. There were a couple Las Vegas Metro guys. There was me, and there was a Cat 1 fire marshal from Bexar County, Texas, who was going through it. And then there was a Chicago Fire Department paramedic who also is armed. That's how bad it is.
Wow.
In Chicago.
Wow.
He was going through this course, and he does all their firearms instruction for the Chicago Fire Department.
Interesting.
It was really cool. Huh. It was a great, great class. I can't say enough good things about it. I tell you what, Las Vegas Metro, what a bunch of professionals. It was like going back and seeing family that I haven't seen forever.
Well,
these guys were welcoming. I mean, they welcomed us with open arms. My rifle actually went down one day. I had a 223 case. It sheared off inside the chamber. I had a
really?
Head case separation.
Yeah.
And that's one of the worst you can have, because then you got to get a case extractor to plow it in there.
Yeah.
They didn't have one. And I'm like, oh my God, my rifle goes down. This was on Wednesday.
Yeah.
If my rifle goes down, I'm out.
It's a long rest of the week.
It's a long drive home early on. And what we ended up doing was taking a 223 bore chamber brush.
Yeah.
And ramming that down in there, getting it past the neck, and then just ripping it out, and we're able to clear it out of there. So
that was your new rifle?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was not the rifle. It was just a bad round. It happens, you know.
Yeah.
When you're shooting, I don't care who manufactures it. When you're shooting remanned ammunition and they're cranking out 100,000s of rounds, you're going to have one bad round.
Well, not even remanufactured ammunition. Any ammunition.
Any ammo, whether it's factory, whether it's remanned, you know.
I've had more issues with Winchester ammunition than I have any of the remanufactured stuff that we've bought.
It's not a perfect science.
No.
You know, things happen. We got my truck back. You probably saw it at the parking lot.
Yeah,
I haven't had it for 2 weeks.
Wow. That was
ugly. And look, I'm going to rip
on. How much did that cost you?
This time?
Yeah.
$1,205. Let me tell you something. I was expecting $4,000, because here's the deal. A little trivia about Fords. The 2008 F-250 Super Duty Turbo Diesel that I have.
You're going to bring out the Ford haters, though. You know that, right?
Yeah. Well, Ford haters can suck it. The 2008 F-250 Super Duty Turbo Diesel. In 2008, Ford was not putting Ford motors in there.
Yeah, they were
international harvesters.
Yeah.
It's essentially the same motor you have in a frickin' MRAP, right?
Yeah.
In order to work on that engine, you have to pull the entire cab off the truck. You got to unbolt the cab. If you're going to do anything like an oil filter gasket, an oil pan gasket,
right,
anything like that, you can't get to it.
You got to pull it all apart.
You got to pull the cab off.
That's crazy.
And what it ended up being was a valve cover gasket, fuel filter, or fuel rocker box, I think is what they call it,
mm-hmm,
and Then it was a rear main seal. I thought I was getting out of it for about $700.
Yeah.
And then, oh, it's still leaking. So they brought a Ford guy in. He goes, yeah, it's a rear main. So fortunately, they were able to...
$500 extra for the rear main seal? That's not bad.
Yeah. They have to unbolt the tranny,
right,
pull the tranny from the motor, separate the two. And then, yeah, it was a little... It was rough because of the lift kit I got on there and that
you
know, brace they have in that lift kit. So, but it's back. My truck is back. Thank God. It's like being reunited again.
Yeah. So I'm having a gun dilemma.
Do tell.
Well, so I have that HK VP9,
mm-hmm,
which is an excellent firearm.
Yes, it is.
It's ergonomically speaking, it's the best gun I've ever held.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know what? Guns are weird, right? Because mathematically, if you added up all the things I like about that gun, I should love it, right?
Right.
I don't. I don't know.
What?
Like, I haven't.
Since when?
Since, like, forever. I haven't. I don't know.
You love that gun.
I haven't fought. No, I like it. I like it.
Okay.
And I would recommend it in a heartbeat to somebody. But there isn't the emotion behind it. Like, I haven't fallen in love with it.
Like I have with my new gun.
Right.
I'm dead in love with it.
And I've shot a lot through it. I've done a class with it, and then I've gone out on my own and run drills, and I shoot fine with it. I'm accurate with it.
It's not blowing your skirt up. You're going to keep it?
I'm thinking about getting rid of it.
Outright or trade?
Well, I'd be willing to trade, but
I would trade up.
Well,
don't get, you know what? Here's the thing. Let me give you a little bit of a sage advice. I've gotten rid of more guns over my lifetime.
Oh, I know. And I have too.
It kills me. And if I could have them back, I would hack off a limb to get my guns back that I've given away or that I've sold. Don't sell it.
Well, but you know what?
Trade up like I did.
There's a lot of guns I regret getting rid of, but the handguns where I can honestly say I just haven't fallen in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't regret getting rid of those. Like my XDM.
Yeah, but if you can trade it up, because there's going to be somebody that loves that gun.
Right.
And if you can trade it up, I mean, I'm not going to mention them, but there's several dealers here in town. You and I, both know who they are.
Right.
And in Carson that would gladly trade with you. And, you know, you may have to throw a little cash on the table.
Yeah.
But if you've got the gun and a little bit of cash and you can walk out of there with something that you're just madly in love with, win-win.
Well, so I've been thinking about picking up just a single stack 9. For when I want something smaller and more concealable.
What kind? What model?
I'm probably going to go with a Walther PPS.
It's a nice gun.
Just because, you know, ambidextrous because, you know, my wife's right-handed, I'm left-handed. The nice thing about the H&Ks and the Walthers is they're truly ambidextrous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with it because the trigger is good. I say it's one of the better polymer triggers. It's not as good as the Walther, I don't think. The ergonomics are excellent. Mag costs are a little bit pricey on it. But
yeah.
What isn't when they're made in, you know?
You can't buy inexpensive magazines anymore.
So anyways, I go down through the list, and I should love this gun based on all the things I like about it. It just hasn't.
No?
No.
Time to trade up, brother.
Yeah, all right.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to review this new gun. I just posted a picture on...
Tell us about your new gun.
This is it's fairly new. I want to say maybe a year ago, SIG came out with this.
Yep.
Sig Sauer. It's the P320CM. It stands for compact medium.
And I think the reason why this didn't get a lot of attention from the gun mm-hmm. press is that it looks... I think the frame is basically exactly the same as the P250. Right?
It's a great sound. It is, essentially. Yeah, it's the same frame.
But what they did is they dropped the hammer fire double action
right.
to go with a more traditional...
It's the more traditional striker fired. It's a Sig Sauer polymer frame, polymer lower, so it's very well balanced.
Yep.
Comes standard with the night sights. The only thing I don't like, we were talking about this off air, the only thing I don't like about this out of the box is the grip. Grip texturing on it is minimal.
Never liked the Sig
grip. The
Sig grips.
Right. And I went ahead and stippled this. I spent about 2 hours stippling it yesterday. And while Sophie was taking a nap, thank God. Thank you, sweetie. Daddy appreciates it. And once you stipple... All right, you're back. Armed Nevada Radio with Ben and Gary. The show that is illegal to listen to in Washington County School District classrooms.
Is it?
Sure it is. It must be. Right? If it's not, it probably will be after today.
That's awesome.
So we're back. We're talking about we're doing a little gun review this morning, this afternoon, whatever. I don't know.
So you got a new Sig Sauer P320 compact. So originally you carried the Sig 1911 or the small 1911.
Right. It was the Sig Nitron Ultra is what they call it. Okay. It's the 3.5-inch 1911. I carried a 1911 as a duty weapon for a number of years.
Okay.
I was a dyed-in-the-wool 1911 guy. You couldn't rip it out of my hands if you tried.
Yeah.
So I take my compact 1911, my Sig Nitron, to this class last week. And part of the course is, in addition to our duty gun and our carbine, we're doing some concealed carry work, drawing from appendix, drawing right. from strong side, from up under the shirt, hooking it, et cetera, all the different methods.
Right.
And I'm working this 1911, and I suddenly realized after firing maybe a magazine through, I'm like, you know what? I don't like this gun.
As a concealed carry.
As a concealed carry. I don't like it. I don't like – and as much of a 1911 guy that I was, I didn't like the slide safety. I kept flipping the thing on.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it. And I made the decision right then and there. That's it. I'm done with the 1911.
Well, it shows how important it is to actually shoot with your concealed carry piece. Right?
It is. And you know what? And I know people are going to rip on me for this, and that's fine, Brandon. I have not admittedly shot with that gun as often as I should have.
Yeah.
I shoot plenty with my duty gun or my duty size gun, but I have not shot with that. And so it came as quite a surprise to me.
But see, you know, I guess that's an interesting point to make because we see it a lot in your classes where people will bring their hand cannons out.
Right.
And, you know, they're comfortable to shoot with because the frames are larger and everything. But, you know, many times I've heard those people say, oh, I don't actually carry this one. Well, that's fine if the goal of the class is to build muscle memory. For the general motions of shooting and those kinds of things, that's fine. But you're not vetting the weapon that you're actually carrying day to day.
No. And I've actually had phone calls just this week from potential students saying, hey, I want to take a concealed carry class. Or I get emails. And one of them was, I got an email from a gentleman that wanted to come out and take a class. And it's him and his pops.
Yeah.
He and his pops want to come out. Great. That's awesome. You know, I think it's a great thing for a dad and a son to come out and do that.
Did you tell him to wear a belt?
That's an inside joke that only Ben and I know about. People wear a belt when you come to the range. Don't loop a rope through your pants like
a bungee,
Popeye or
bungee cord.
Or bungee cord, peace sake. So anyway, Pops is elderly. Pops wants to bring a 2-inch 357 Magnum.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Not a good choice.
Not a good choice. And I forget what the other gentleman's choice of firearm was. I think it was also equally as inappropriate. And I emailed him back and I said, listen, I really would not recommend you coming out and putting 300 rounds downrange of the 2-inch Magnum.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I haven't heard back.
Well, it's like that poor young lady that came out to your class. Her husband had bought a revolver and she had wrist issues.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that she had trouble racking the slide on a semi-auto, but, man, subjecting herself to
how many times have we seen that with students? Were you there when we had a female student whose boyfriend had bought her a, what model is the Sig Sauer? It's the elite Navy SEAL version of the 226.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember? Could not get her hands around that gun.
The gun was huge.
Remember how much trouble she had with that gun? And, you know, I don't care how cool or badass the gun looks.
If it doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit your hands, don't bring it to the course.
Right.
Train with the gun that you are going to carry. Yep. Otherwise, it's just theatrics.
Well, or do this. Bring your larger gun, bring the smaller one, and do half the day with the smaller one and the other one with the larger one.
Sure. If you want, I would do the end of the day with your carry gun of choice. If you want to shoot both, that's fine. But don't do the whole class with something you're not going to carry.
Because, you know what? Like, I'm thinking of my PPQ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or your P320. It's going to shoot a lot differently than an M&P shield.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, the frame is larger on the larger guns. It's easier to, I think it's easier to put multiple shots on target.
Yep.
You've got to, you have to practice with the smaller ones to make sure you're proficient. And that's so important
to
do.
And I'll tell you what, when I drew that Sig 1911 Nitron out of that holster and fired that first magazine, I'm like, this feels like crap. I've carried it for how many years have I carried that gun? Since 2012.
Oh, since I've known you.
Yeah. I I got that gun when I left the sheriff's office.
Yeah.
And it felt like crap. Now, I'm not saying the gun is garbage, because, listen, SIG puts out some remarkable firearms.
Right.
But for me, as my carry of choice, it was absolutely wrong. It might be better for, you know, Joe Schmo down the street, maybe a great gun for him, but not for me.
But you know what? That's why guns are such a personal decision, and that's why when people say, well, what do you think I should buy? Well, because I can run down a checklist and tell you something's a great gun, like the VP9. You know, one of our great friends, Alicia, she loves the VP9. And I don't, it's a great gun. And I don't doubt anybody that says they love it, because it's a great gun. It's just, for whatever reason, it doesn't work for me.
It is. It's very personal. Don't buy a gun because it looks cool. Don't get a gun to carry it because your buddy carries it or your best friend carries it. You know, carry the gun that's free. It's you. It's the gun.
Right.
It's an extension of who you are, your abilities, your talents, your skills, your personality.
Well, and how many people I've talked to on our range, you know, when they say, oh, what are you carrying? And I say, oh, a Walther PPQ. They say, oh, the trigger's great on it, but I didn't fall in love with it. That's fine.
Sure.
I did.
Yeah.
I don't. So that's why I think guns are just like cars. You know, you can love something on paper, and if you go test drive it or you own it for a year and it's not the right thing for you, you're going to hate it.
Well, you know, as many times as I've extolled the virtues of the Smith M&P Shield 9mm,
yeah,
I think we'd both agree it's a great gun.
Very good gun.
Awesome gun. I recommend that gun numerous times to individuals on the range. It's my wife's gun of carry choice. But I had somebody on a Facebook post say, you know, the M&P Shield is overrated.
Oh, that was my buddy John.
Was it?
Yeah, John.
Was that your buddy?
Yeah.
John Tolt, that's right.
Good guy.
He is a good guy. And I didn't answer it, but what I wanted to say was, well, there's a reason it's overrated. It's overrated because it's a great gun.
Well, and actually it's a great gun for a great price point too. Because how many guns right now, and I would recommend it also, I'd actually recommend the safety list version, but I've seen them as low as $350.
That's what I paid for this one.
And honestly, to find a gun made by a major manufacturer that has years now of good quality or, you know, reliability reports behind it for $350.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
It is, especially when, you know, you can spend upwards of $1,000 or more on a higher end gun to get a great gun with a great reputation that is consistently operates the same every time you pull it out of the holster.
A Glock 43, the new single stack 9 Glock, is going to run you $500. Do I think the Shield is $150 less in terms of quality or reliability? Absolutely not.
And I love Glock, but you're paying for the name of the Glock 43.
So, and honestly, if somebody was wishy-washy or didn't have an opinion, I'd say get the Smith and save yourself $150.
Exactly.
You know, but having said that, if somebody picks up the Glock and they love it, you're not going to be, even if you save $150, you're not going to be happy.
Glock owners are a rabid bunch of individuals.
They are. I'm sure.
I am a Glock owner now, and I ran my new Glock that Russ did all that custom work on. That thing ran like a striped-assed ape.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. The Trigicon RMR optic on it.
But see, you know what? That's another good example of, you know, Glock owners or people that love Glock. They're rabid. They love them, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? Those of us that have tried it, I understand where the love comes from. I just don't have it. I don't love it. But I understand it.
Yeah, you're either a fan or you're not. And, you know, you're a super fan if you're a Glock owner.
Right.
I
mean, seems like it.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of in between.
I've caught more. I used to say, you know, my Smith & Wesson M&P 45, my full size, I'll keep that gun. I love it. It's like a Glock, only much better. And you say that to Glock owners, oh my God. They lose their minds, you know, over it. And I've got several buddies that are Glock owners. You know, my good buddy Craig that I served with. He's a Glock owner, rabid Glock owner.
Right.
You tell him that, oh, my God, he goes sideways on you. But so we've got some cool stuff we want to talk about. I know you've got some stuff pulled up that we want to hit on this morning.
We need a three-hour show this week to cover everything that's happened this week with regards to firearms.
We do.
It's insane. There are so many moving pieces going on right now. And then with the Democratic debate, did you watch any of that?
No, because I don't. That's time I could never buy. All right, we're back. We were we're just talking about something off mic for a second. We're going to go off the script here a little bit because I wasn't aware of this. You're talking about X-ray trucks in in D.C.?
Yeah, New York Post had an article. So did the Washington Post.
Okay, what are these X-ray trucks do what now?
So they're DC, using right? the scatter, you know, what is it? Whatever the scatter technology they use mm-hmm. when like a semi-truck will drive through, let's say, San Ysidro. To drive from Mexico to the United States. And Customs Enforcement basically does this scatter
right,
X-ray technology.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have placed these into trucks in New York City under the purview of the New York City Police Department. And they basically drive around. They claim that they're not X-raying people. They're only doing vehicles coming and going from the city, looking for explosives and nuclear material. But here's the thing. You know, the New York City police commissioner and the mayor in New York City are so anti-gun that how long before those are turned on people and they start driving down streets scanning people for weapons?
Okay, so let me address that point. That would be a gross violation of Terry versus Ohio, which essentially is stop and frisk. In order for a law enforcement officer to pat down just the outside of your person.
Wait, you're applying logic, though, to New York City.
I know, but just so people understand, you as a law enforcement officer, if I see you walking down the street and you look like a dirtbag, all right, and I'm like, you know what? My spidey senses are tingling. I know that guy's got a warrant. I know he's got guns. I know he's got dope.
Yeah.
I can't tell you why I know. I just know.
Okay.
I can stop him, say, hey, buddy, come here. Can I talk to you a second? Oh, yeah. Yeah, what's going on? You got any weapons, any dope on you? You know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You're kind of out here wandering around. What's up? Do you mind if I pat you down real quick? No. And 9 times out of 10, they'll say, no, go right ahead.
Right.
Because they don't know they can say no. So you can pat them down. But that pat down is limited to the outside of the person.
Right.
You can't go into pockets.
Right.
You can do a scrunch of the pockets. You're looking for dope, stuff that feels like dope or paraphernalia or weapons, all right? You're not looking for the elephant in the shoebox kind of a thing.
Right.
You start X-raying people, now you're getting into their pockets and much deeper.
I'm just saying, you know, everybody says that we're conspiracy theorists for talking about slippery slope.
Who says that?
A lot of people
do.
I will punch
them in the throat.
But I'm just saying, this is scary stuff. It's a little big brother. You know?
Well, it's very big brother. When in our history have we ever heard of anything like this?
Never. I mean, it's having it used on our own citizens. I think is
now. Here's where the libertarian side of you is just going to go sideways on me.
Okay,
X-raying vehicles coming to and from the city for dirty bombs or explosives or weapons caches, things like that. Because look. New York, we would agree, New York is a gigantic target, right?
Yeah, but you're right. Okay. I'm bristling at this statement already.
I know, and I can't believe I'm even saying it because I agree with you. When we start giving up a little freedom for safety, we deserve neither.
Right.
But these are different times, and when you're talking about the lives of potentially hundreds of thousands of individuals, innocent people, driving an X-ray truck around New York City, X-raying vehicles, if you're only looking for explosives or nuclear material.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If they X-ray your vehicle and see you've got an AK, you know, under the back seat somehow, you honestly think that NYPD officer is going to sit on that and not do anything with it?
No, but how many New Yorkers are driving around with an AK?
More than we think, I guarantee. No, honestly, I think so.
I don't know. It's tough. I see your point.
Yeah.
I do. But I also see the need for it. And
no, see, I think when we give up privacy and we give up our rights for security, we deserve
okay,
neither.
Okay, so what if somebody detonates a small homemade nuclear device in the middle of Times Square and we could have found that with an X-ray chart?
I don't think we would have. I think all of these things, it's just security theater. It's like TSA. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
TSA, let me start on that.
So speaking of terrorism, interesting times right now. Israel, have you been following what's going on the last 2 weeks?
In fact, I was just watching the news up here on the monitor in the corner of the studio, and there was Hamas is calling for a day of rage.
Well, it's been 2 weeks or a month of rage going on. So there is an epidemic, for those that aren't following it, of Hamas and your radical Palestinians coming into Israel, coming into Jerusalem, and they are, it's this lone wolf thing. They're stabbing. That's kind of their thing the last month. And Israel, people in Israel are scared, and I don't blame them.
Right.
You know, you think about, what if we suddenly, you know, when we live a little more spread out here than, but you think about if we lived in an urban area and people were just going out and stabbing at random daily,
mm-hmm.
this city would be in a panic.
Oh, sure it would.
I think any American city would be in a panic. So, you know, the interesting thing is, so the Jerusalem mayor is calling for his citizens to buy guns and arm up.
I saw that.
And he's asking for citizens to apply for concealed carry permits over there. And
do they have such a thing?
They do. I don't think they're very easy to, they haven't been very easy to get up until recently.
I wasn't aware they even had CCW permits in Jerusalem.
Well, and then the other thing is,
business opportunity right there.
Should we go to Tel Aviv or Jerusalem for a little while?
Let's, yeah.
But, you know, I'm thinking about, this is a good lesson for our American listenership, because, and maybe our listenership is not the best audience to think about this critically, but I, you know, let's ask our non-gun owning friends, you know, you live in a fantasy land, because if, let's say, ISIS or some other group similar to that calls for the same type of attacks here in the United States, and every day in, let's say, just about every American city, somebody's getting stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
That's an attack that police can't prevent. They
agreed.
Just can't. They
agreed.
Can't. And if you are not completely aware at all times, and you and I both admit there's no way that anybody can at all times.
Right.
I mean, what do you do? You are vulnerable, and the police are just going to be there to clean up after the fact.
Well, did you see the video where the IDF forces,
they were
interviewing those, doing like a street interview on those, like, I don't know, like half a dozen guys on that bench, and the one dude stands up and tries to stab that one IDF soldier in the head.
Yep.
Well, they end up gunning him down. They put warheads on foreheads, and they rendered him room temperature.
As they, as they should.
One of those IDF soldiers, did you see who it was?
No.
Young 20-some-odd-year-old female. It's the second person she shot that day.
Crazy times.
I want to buy that girl a beer. Let me tell you something. You talk about friggin' warriors? Holy smokes.
Oh, for sure. But, you know, I'm thinking in terms of our own, what we do here. I don't think the American people are prepared for those types of attacks to be happening.
No, they're not. It's, and that's a sad fact, you know, which is why I think you and I have a great platform here, because we can get that word outside. You know, I don't think people understand how prepared you need to be. We don't live, listen, this, we don't live in a 1950s utopia anymore.
No. Well, and the thing is people have to start recognizing that, you know what? You are responsible for the safety of yourself and your children.
Yep.
Nobody else.
I'll tell you this. It is only a matter of time. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. These incidents that are occurring on the streets of Tel Aviv or London or Paris wherever.
It's coming.
It's coming here.
Yep.
It is coming here. I guarantee it. I don't mean to sound like a doom and gloom kind of a guy, but it's coming here, and people need
to be
prepared. They need to be ready.
Yep. So what else? What else you got? Let's go back on script for a second.
So, all right. So the DC police chief.
Oh, so you know we've talked about this woman.
Of course, phone never comes up when you want it to.
No. Well, so to set the stage, last year the courts decided that Washington DC's prohibition on concealed carry was unconstitutional.
Correct.
Struck down all of their concealed carry laws, and for a period of a week, you could actually carry any way you wanted in the District of Columbia. As we would all expect, that didn't last very long.
Right.
And so the Washington D.C. or the District of Columbia started to craft new concealed carry legislation. And instead of doing the right thing,
they did the wrong thing.
I think they have defied the court order.
They have.
They have made it so difficult, one, to get the concealed carry permit that hardly anybody has done it.
Yep.
And then they've also made carrying within the District of Columbia so difficult because of gun-free zones.
Yep.
That I don't think very many people feel the desire to go get the concealed carry.
Well, the article says here that, you know, for years the District of Columbia has fought and clawed, I'm going to add kicking and screaming, to keep from being dragged into the age of enlightenment. Well, they were one of the last jurisdictions to allow concealed carry. They have made it nearly impossible to obtain. Now, in order to obtain a concealed carry permit in Washington, you have to go through 18 hours of training. You have to demonstrate. All right, we are back. You're listening to Ben and Gary on KMZ 107.3 Armored Battery Radio. We're talking about this D.C. police chief that is essentially refusing the issue.
She's an idiot.
She is an idiot. Well, I'm just going to call it out.
But you know what's interesting? So Kim Davis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a,
because that's the big comparison
right.
being made right now.
And you know, and this our show is not the venue to defend Kim Davis, but Kim Davis refuses or made it difficult enough to issue gay marriage licenses mm-hmm. in her jurisdiction that she was held in contempt of court
right.
and she went to jail.
Because of a court order.
Right. Now, here you've got the D.C. police chief, I think, that's defying a court order to comply with the court's decision on concealed carry. And why isn't there outrage or why isn't there a call for her to be held in contempt? And
because, I'll tell you this, because she is not outright refusing to issue the permits.
You know as well as I do that if we had a county clerk that was making all kinds of hoops to jump through to get a gay marriage license,
you would hope so. Right.
I guarantee that would happen.
Well, apparently not only must one apply and wait and wait and wait some more, but the process is extremely costly and requires a whopping 18 hours of instruction.
Mm-hmm.
When the city set up the process, they were clever. Applicants must take the lengthy training course, get this, from a D.C. certified instructor. However, D.C. will not certify instructors.
Oh, well, that's refusing as far as I'm concerned.
When the courts finally intervened, the officials begrudgingly allowed a trickle of concealed carry permits after a lengthy wait time and only after such applicants could demonstrate a need, quote unquote, for such a permit to the bureaucrats' satisfaction. To offer an analogy, like you stated earlier, what if Kim and Davis had said, I'll give out marriage licenses to homosexuals if both partners can run a 5-minute mile?
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's essentially what they're doing.
Valid question.
Yep.
Would that have been satisfactory? Of course not. Still, D.C. officials said Lanier, the chief, for all intents and purposes, refuses to issue permits to allow citizens to exercise their Second Amendment rights. So I ask again, why isn't this broad in jail?
She should be. I think she's defying the court order.
She is.
And you know what? The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals needs to get off their asses
mm-hmm.
and make a decision on this Peruta case so that we can finally, once and for all, strike down good cause. Because
yes.
I don't need good cause to exercise my God-given constitutional right to bear arms.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. There is a storm coming with this election cycle. I have never for 1 minute thought that Barack Obama was going to kick down my door and come take my guns. He doesn't have the nuts to do it.
I don't think he has the fortitude to actually go.
He talks big talk. He knows that it's never going to happen. I'll tell you what, though. Crazy Bernie Sanders. Or Hillary, these two are about as close to the Antichrist as we can possibly get. They are going to promise the world.
Yeah.
They're promising the world free college this, free college that, free this, for all this free garbage. And both of them have made no bones about it. They're coming for the guns.
Well, you know what scares me more than the candidates themselves is who they're going to nominate for the Supreme Court. Because I think in terms of gun rights, that's what makes
the
difference.
Yeah, that's the key right there.
What
do you got?
Well, so what I've got is San Francisco Sheriff Ross. Let me make sure I pronounce his last name right.
Can I say D-bag on the radio?
I don't know, but you said it. So Merker Remy. So this guy, he is really something special. And, you know, I got hats off to you guys in San Francisco for electing such a clown to the role of sheriff. Because
what were you thinking?
This guy, so check this out. A sergeant under the sheriff who oversaw the department's shooting range was transferred after he questioned whether the sheriff could even take the marksmanship test, so that they have an annual marksmanship test,
mm-hmm.
in light of his recent domestic violence case. So you guys have a sheriff that, you know, I guess here there's questions about whether he can legally possess a firearm.
Is it a conviction or is it pending?
I think it's pending.
Okay, under the Lautenberg Amendment, you got to be convicted.
Well, in California, are their rules any different?
That I don't. I couldn't.
Well, So this sergeant questioned this, and I think it's a fair question since we're quite, you know, I think internal affairs or their Office of Professional Responsibility should have reviewed it. So then he relieves this sergeant of duty, and then he takes the test. He fails it. So now he can't carry a gun.
So you have a sheriff, an elected sheriff
yep.
of a county sheriff's office who cannot be armed.
Yep.
Well, he's not even post-certified.
Well, so check this out.
How does that happen?
For much of his term as sheriff, he's been on criminal probation after pleading guilty to a 2012 misdemeanor charge of false imprisonment stemming from an incident in which he bruised his wife's arm during an argument. In April, the sheriff had the conviction expunged after he completed his probation.
Whoa, wait a second. He had it expunged?
Yes.
Okay, do you know how difficult that is to have happen?
Not if you're of the political elite in California,
well,
right?
If you're one of the peasants.
So
that's almost a non-happening thing.
Left unresolved was whether he could carry a gun on duty. State law bars someone convicted of a domestic violence-related offense from possessing a gun, even if the conviction is expunged. I don't think he can possess a firearm.
Really?
So
that's California state law?
Yeah. So
whoa.
Explain to me how the overlord this, and it's like this all over, but especially recently here in California, you've got this sheriff who is an outspoken proponent of gun control,
mm-hmm.
and he has actually come out and said that he's happy that the last gun store closed in San Francisco. He also came out and defended the illegal immigrant who shot the young woman on the pier and called for more gun control, even though this illegal immigrant stole the gun. Okay. So we have this guy who's an outspoken gun control advocate. Then we have Leland Yee, if you remember this clown.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who...
He's in federal prison, right?
I hope so. On his way.
Yeah.
And so he gets caught trafficking in illegal arms with some mobster from China.
Right, while he's using the Senate floor to promote gun control.
Right. So you have all of these guys in California that is basically do as I say, but not as I do.
Right.
And it just blows my mind, right?
The laws don't apply to them.
Ugh.
Especially in San Francisco. It is a socialist empire, that city. It really is. And I'll tell you what, you know, I hate to say it because I don't want to sound so doom and gloom, but that, God help us, come November 16, that's where this country is headed. When you've got the voting bloc that are following Hillary and Bernie Sanders around sniffing at their backsides like a couple of wet puppies. You know, it's the same voting block that put Barack Obama in office. They don't care about the issues. They don't care about substance. It's what's in it for me. Free stuff, free stuff. I feel good. I feel good. I feel good.
Well, are we to the point now where this election will determine the survival of our republic?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. This election will determine the survival of our republic. I'm going to come out right out and say that. I don't care how crazy that sounds. That's what I believe. I believe that's where we're at in our nation's history right now.
Yep. You ready to get really mad?
Oh, sure.
So your favorite gun control group, Coalition to Stop Gun Violence.
Oh, I love them.
Right? Yeah, you're banned from their Facebook page.
Yes, I am.
Posted Marcus Luttrell's NRA ad.
Okay.
So we played that here on the air.
Yes.
A fantastic ad. And they attacked him as an Islamophobe. And as somebody that has no clue what he's talking about when he's talking about Islamic extremists.
Oh, of course Marcus doesn't.
Can you imagine? So this guy goes to Afghanistan as a Navy SEAL. All of his comrades are shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
He has faced evil and down and survived just barely.
And he has no idea about Islamic extremism.
These people, they are shameless.
Yeah, they are. They are shameless.
So we have 2 minutes left. I want to talk about that picture that we posted on our Facebook page.
Which
about
one?
The lady in the coffee shop in New York taking a picture of the cop's gun saying she could take it.
Oh, my God. That delusional broad.
Oh, my. I couldn't believe
Real
that.
Real quick, we got about a minute 30 to talk about this. Photograph. It's on our Facebook page. Look it up. She took a shot of a New York City police officer. With a Glock pistol.
And she wishes she could go back to... she misses England because she doesn't like going to coffee shops
America,
and worrying about a gun battle.
Right. America, we have a problem, she said. Cops carrying a Glock 17 in a Safariland Level 3 holster with a hood, with the safety hood and the backstrap hood. It's got a ass baton behind the holster.
Yep.
And she says, I could have taken this gun and fired all the rounds easily.
Like hell she could have.
Yeah, like hell. And you would have got stomped into a puddle.
Right.
Go back to England.
You know, that's what I have to say. For all of you people that come over here as, you know, nationals of, yep. of Britain, and you are sick and tired of our society or our culture, go
Get
back.
Go back home. You know what? I want to end it on this, too. Did you hear Hillary Clinton call the NRA a terrorist organization?
Oh, I wish we had gotten to that. Sean, we need a longer show.
What the hell? A terrorist organization?
No, they're the voice of gun owners in this country.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so we're being labeled as terrorists.
Yep.
That's a good way to end the show.
That's all right.
Hey, fellow terrorists.
How are you? Felt my fellow terrorists out there.
According to Hillary Clinton, our listenership is a bunch of terrorists.
We are. You know what? I'll wear that with a badge of honor. All right, boys and girls, that's it for
another episode.
Another week down the tubes. Let's go to lunch. You want to get a burrito? Let's go.
We'll have to see if I have time.
All right, you'll have time. You've been listening to Ben and Gary on Nevada Radio. We're going to go get a burrito, boys and girls.